Everybody likes guns. They just don't know it. Deep inside of his soul, there's a cowboy trying to get out.
Welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content and word pronunciation is simply the opinion of the hosts and their guests.
Hello and welcome to episode 135 of New Shooter Canada. I'm one of your hosts, Thomas, and this week we have Benny.
Hello.
We have Rick.
Hello.
And we have Mario.
Good evening.
How you doing, guys?
Awesome.
Excellent.
Good.
Well, we're going to talk about maple seed in a little bit, but first, what did you do with guns this week, Benny? Because you had your first still shoot. How did that go?
Oh, that was interesting. I shouldn't probably complain because I've never gone to any other courses, but it seems a little, people are telling me it's a little unorganized. But for their first shoot that they were putting on, it was okay. I was a little surprised coming thinking like it was going to be like a steel challenge like in the States, and there was a little bit. Some change. There weren't the full 8 stages. There's only 4, but they added an extra 10 targets to a couple of the stages. So it was good. I liked the way I performed. Towards the end, I got tired, so my aim was off, and I was missing a lot.
Yeah, I use that excuse a lot too.
No, that's what the guy next to me said was happening. I just thought, like, okay. Oh, why? What is going on? I was doing so well until this time. I was very proud of the way I performed, to the point where like one time I didn't want to keep everyone waiting, right? So I had 3, rounds left in one mag and then 8 in another. So I started with the 3 round mag because the other mag I was running doesn't have bolt open on the last round. So I ran the 3, and as I finished the second one, I'm like, oh, I gotta reload. So I took my support hand off the gun, and then I'm like, oh, wait a second, I haven't shot the last shot yet. So I ended up shooting the 3rd round one-handed, reloaded, and finished the string, and it was pretty smooth, so I was pretty impressed with myself.
What kind of steel targets did they have?
They had X-Metal targets up. X-Metal targets and TDSA were, I wouldn't say, X-Metal Tires donated the targets, and then TDSA was running it. So, yeah, they were running just regular AR-500 plates, kind of steel targets, stuff you'll find on their website. So, silhouettes to dueling trees to a plate rack.
They have a Texas Star?
They had one on site as like a display, but they didn't have one. It wasn't part of the shoot.
Yeah, I noticed Sarah posted some pictures, and I saw the Texas Star.
Yeah, that was their display. Some of us were getting a little nervous because we're like, okay, now how are we going to engage that? Like, of my squad, I think there was 8 of us or something, and there was like some old guy who just wanted to, you know, he wanted to get his hits, so he would take his time, but he got, you know, he wanted to make sure he got his hits. There was another new shooter with me who didn't have their holster qualification, and there was another new shooter who just got her holster qualification the day before, and she was super nervous. Her scores weren't great, and she was just struggling because she like had this huge class yesterday with TDSA on how to shoot pistol, and she was struggling to remember all that stuff, and you could tell just in her performance.
But did she have fun?
Yeah, I hope so. I think she was having a blast. And then we had some professional guy who shot for Safarim Armory, sorry. And he's a professional shooter, so he did really well. Until the last stage, and then he overinserted a mag and his gun jammed, and I made the, well, I thought it was a little mean, but then I had to make the comment, well, there goes the 1911. his gun ran flawless the whole time, and he, like, afterwards he's like, yeah, I shouldn't have used that mag. I should have, cause they were letting us, like, if we didn't have enough ammo, for all 5 strings, stop, reload, and then let the next person go, and then, you know, we'd come back, like, they'd circle around again. But I guess he was just pushing to finish it, cause that was the last string, right? So he just pushed, and he overinserted his mag and jammed his gun.
Well, it sounds like a real fun shoot for a first attempt at Silverdale.
Yeah, it was a little disorganized, and then I felt like there wasn't enough information put out. beforehand, like, what was going on. And I didn't like the fact that in the end, everyone was lumped in the same division. I felt that was kind of unfair. But, c'est la vie, that's life.
Well, yeah. I guess if it was a sanctioned match, then that wouldn't have happened, but...
Yeah, yeah.
But it was fun. It was fun.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed myself.
And you did have a chance to play with my 1022 yet?
Yes. So after I finished the match, even though I was exhausted, I went over next door and to another bay and pulled it out and shot at 50 yards. It was grouping a little high, so I just to get the feel of it. I wasn't gonna start fiddling with it because I think I'll just do that at the maple seed and to get it dialed in.
So it should be dialed in for 23 yards. So if you're shooting at 50, I can see it being a little high.
Yeah.
25.
Does 25?
25 meters. Sorry.
Yeah. So the distance I was shooting at was 50 yards. So like, I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to, like, I started fiddling with the dials. And I'm like, you know what? Forget this. This isn't the distance I'm shooting at for the maple seed. So I'll just leave the rifle, see how it prints at maple seed. And if I need to, I'll make adjustments then.
Did you get the mags from your dad?
No, I did get the mag reloader though, so I'll have to pick those up another time before Sunday.
Yeah, it helps having the extra mags. Like just with 3-year running type, if you can have, you know, 6 or 7 already marked down and preloaded, it just makes things go a little bit faster.
Yeah. Yep. Looking forward to that too.
Okay. And what about you, Rick? What did you do with guns this week?
Yeah, the big thing for me was shooting a PRS match at CFB Valcarce with Club Valcarce. They run a beautiful match up there. The club is fairly new, but they've been running a few matches the last couple of years. And this is the first year they started doing real PRS type matches with barricades and you know, moving ship platforms and chain link fences and the whole nine yards. And we were shooting at the Trois Rivières range, and they had... They had 12 targets from between 300 yards to just over a kilometer in 9 stages. So, I mean, it was a perfect day. It's the first weekend of really nice weather all year. So it was beautiful. We were really enjoying it.
So what does PRS stand for?
Precision Rifle Series. Okay. Yeah, so Precision Rifle Series is a big the big thing in the U.S. right now, where typically you're shooting either 308 or one of the fancier calibers like a 6mm or 6.5mm, either Creed or Lapua, and the name of the game is positional shooting. So they tend to put you into awkward situations with targets of different distances where you've got to shift. Typically, you're shifting, you know, your point of aim at least 3 times in some cases, sometimes 6 with position changes. So it really messes with your natural point of aim and teaches you to get on target quick and quickly change your turret settings, because you're typically engaging targets at varying distances all in the same stage. So it's challenging. Plus the added value there at Valcarce is that the wind is treacherous. It is a brutal, brutal range. So it was a lot of fun. There were probably 50 shooters, around 50 shooters there. And it's divided into tactical, which is typically 308 up to 178 grain bullet. Maximum of 2,800 feet per second, and then everyone else is into the open division. If you're shooting a 308 that's faster or heavier, you get bumped into that. So I was shooting in open because I had a new rifle I just had put together, which is a 6mm 6x47 Lapua. And that's kind of a nice flat shooting rifle. Yeah, awesome. It performed well. Excellent. So that was a lot of fun. It was a beautiful day out with another maple cedar, Andrew. And we learned a lot. We were humbled by certain stages and did well in others. So it was good learning experience. And a lot of the stuff we taught at Project Maple Seed really helped on the there's a 300-yard offhand shooting stage, right? So basically you're 3 football fields away trying to hit a pizza box, you know, 6 shots, 3 shots standing, 3 shots kneeling. So it's a good test. And then a lot of the prone stuff came into play. But all the positional stuff, if you're not used to, you know, shooting off a chain link fence, you're kind of struggling to get balance and stability. So good lessons learned. It was a lot of fun.
So you can't use a sling?
Yeah, we can absolutely use a sling.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. So maple seed definitely comes in handy.
Oh, absolutely. I was slung up. I actually didn't use any bags. A lot of the guys come with all the fancy paddock, but I wanted to see if the Project Maple Seed positional stability with the sling helped, and it did. So I was able to connect 4 straight shots at 1K with just a sling. without bags, or I had the bipod, obviously, but no bags or other rests other than the sling. So that was nice to prove out that theory that it does work. So
it's amazing how much stability you can get out of a sling.
If you do it right, especially standing
too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. It's I was skeptical at first when way in the beginning, because no one else shoots with it, right? None of the Canadian forces teach a sling use. I don't think the Americans are using it anymore. They used to way back when. But certainly it's proven itself to me, and I think a couple of other seasoned shooters have gotten into it. Even actually, the last Maple Seed in EOSC, one of the guys I shot with at Nationals last year, Luke Voye, who came in second, never used a sling, didn't have any real formal training. He says, one thing I learned was a sling definitely helps, so he's going to try and incorporate it into his positional shooting now whenever possible. So that was good validation from his side.
Well, yeah, look at Mary Patrick shooting in. She doesn't use a sling.
There you go.
She's amazing. What about you, Mario? Yeah. What'd you do with guns this week?
Actually, this week I didn't do very much. I was I'm also a musician, so we were actually in Toronto this past weekend. So I was practicing all week, and we had a couple of shows in Toronto this weekend. So unfortunately, my shooting had to go by the wayside for the last week and a half.
You're playing down at the Duke?
We were down at the Duke. Yeah, we had a show there Saturday night, and then we're in Cornwall Friday night, rather. And in Saturday, we were at Cornwall on the way back.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. Good show. Great fun. Lots of people. It was a good time.
If I would have known, actually, if I would have been working, I would have dropped in to see you, but I took the week off, so I stayed home. I wasn't driving into the city.
Yeah, it was a great club, great part of town. It was really fun. Down on Queen Street East.
They've really changed it. The Kent used to be a real dive about 10, 15 years ago, and they've really revamped it, and it's a nice place now.
It is. It's quite nice. Yeah, we enjoyed it.
All the dumpier parts of the city are now prime real estate in Toronto, so they're really trying to build up that area along Queen Street and Leslie.
Yeah, they're doing a good job at it, that's for sure.
Let's see, what did I do? Actually, I didn't do any actual gun shooting this week, besides going to Benny's and dropping off the 10/22. But I had a funny incident today. I went to a friend's house, and I hadn't seen in 4 or 5 years, and he's a machinist, and he starts talking about his cannons, and I never knew he had cannons. So he shows me his first little, and he's made them himself. He's got this cannon with maybe a 1-inch barrel, and on the carrier, it's got to weigh 30, 40 pounds. And he's got one a little bit bigger, and it's got to weigh 60, 70 pounds. And same, it's on this huge, huge carriage and stuff. And one was a 35 caliber, and one was a 37 caliber, he said. And, he showed me all the gear that he has, and he pulls out this, what do you call it? Well, your mom's a pharmacist, Benny. When they grind up stuff, it's like a mortar and pestle. Mortar and pestle. So he goes, I've got a mortar and pestle. And I said, well, what's that for? He says, well, for grinding up the black powder. And I looked at him. I said, you realize black powder is expensive, is explosive. He goes, oh, yeah, I discovered that in high school. I shot a steel rod right through my hand. So,
oh my God.
And I looked at him, I said, I really wouldn't be grinding up the black powder before putting it in a cannon. He said, why not? I said, well, it's got a certain burn rate, and that stuff's explosive. I said, if you grind it into little tiny particles, I said, that thing's going to ignite super fast. Your pressure curve is going to be through the roof. And, I said, I would go online and learn a little bit about black powder. And he's got this tin, and I said, how long have you had that tin? He said, I don't know what. I brought it in the 70s. I said, you realize black powder goes bad. I said, I would definitely take a whiff. And it's got that really nitrate smell when it starts to deteriorate. So I talked him into getting rid of the black powder. He went outside and he sprinkled it out. And I told him not to grind it up anymore into powder. And I said, he doesn't have a firearms license. They're technically not firearms. He just does signaling cannons. But he just needs a driver's license to get black powder. So I suggest, turn the black powder that you have into fertilizers, throw it in the lawn, and go get some half-decent powder. But it looked pretty cool. Like, he did a really nice job. They looked like perfectly scaled miniature cannons off pirate ships that you see in Pirates of the Caribbean. So they look really cool, but it shows you how scary people can be when they start making homemade firearms and grinding up black powder, and the absolute fear that came over my eyes when he showed me what he was doing. He's like, no, no. But luckily, he still has all his fingers, so that's a good thing. What else did I do? I did my first complete detailed strip of my XCAL, and it was pretty straightforward design. And I learned the value of a slay pin once again, because you have to put that little slay pin. If you don't have a slay pin, you're never getting that stupid thing in there. It'll take you hours. So I finally got it back together, and I guessed the right orientation of the sear spring. Short side on the sear side, because if you put the long side in, it'll interfere with the safety. So like they did in a first time. And it's really a really cool design, because it's similar to a 2011. The frame is easily removed from the grip. Most of the parts were all CNC machined. I think the only stamp parts, the two sides of the support, and I think the side release is stamped, but everything else is milled steel or CNC machined. So there's no injected molded stuff from the gun. And what else? I'm going to probably retire in about a month. I'm planning on retiring.
And
I've had a couple of offers for working different gun shops, and I'm going to pass on those, because in the last 20, 25 years, I've had two friends killed in robberies in gun shops. So I don't know if I really want to work in a gun shop, but I'd like to be in the industry. And David Coping from Grand Power Distribution contacted me, and he offered me a job as a sales rep. So when I officially put in my papers for the TTC, which will probably be the end of June, or how long I decide to make my sickness last. I've been off on sick leave for about 3 weeks, so I might be sick right to the end of June and retire. Who knows? But and they probably listen to the show and follow everything I say on Facebook. So once I retire, I think I'm gonna take David up on his offer, because I like the product. I like David. He's a cool guy. So that's about all I did with guns this week. So guns in the news. Do you want to do guns in the news, Mike? Oh, he's not here yet. Benny, do you want to do guns in the news?
Okay, guns in the news. Story one. Well, the CPC leadership race was yesterday. Andrew Scheer won the party leadership with 51% of the vote. A few Facebook complaints from our friends about ballot not being received, and nobody from CPC.
So what happened with your ballot, Mario?
Well, exactly that. I didn't get one. And this was, it started at least a month ago. Everyone started saying, well, we got the ballots, we're starting to cast. I went, so I called up. The first time I called, there's an 800 number for the membership helpline, and I went, I didn't get my thing. They go, well, it's in the mail, so you should get it next week. So I went, all right, or by next week. So next week rolls around, didn't get it, called again. And this happened, I called the 800 number three times, and now we're 2 weeks out. And now I'm going, okay, well, you know, my point was, there was a big push this year, and I wanted to join because I wanted to have a say in who the leader is, you know, for election time. And again, 2 weeks go by and didn't get nothing. So contacted Tracy. She gave me an email to contact, and it was actually Maxime Bernier's vote. Doesn't matter, not just they'll get you picked up. Email them. Nobody gets back to me. So a couple of days later, I emailed again, and then I copied Rona Ambrose, which is the party leader, on this. Nobody gets back to me. You know, a few days before this, probably a week ago, this past Friday, I then emailed, I think it was Kelly Leach, and nobody gets back to me. It was like, okay, this is ridiculous, you know. So I didn't get to vote.
Weren't the only one.
And exactly. I've seen people online. There's all sorts. So I'm calling foul. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, especially with a 51% vote, because that is so narrow. The two people voting the other way, it could have made a difference.
Now, don't get me wrong. Andrew Scheer is a great guy. He's good, and he was in fact probably my second choice, which is fine. But that, you know, I wanted the opportunity to cast a vote, and in at least had I cast a vote, I'd be okay with that. That's fine. But I didn't, and I know many other people didn't. So this brings a real question mark into the picture. And, you know, I don't think it's right. I think, you know, we should be able to vote and then have our votes counted and see if it changes things. But we'll see how that goes. If not, I'm asking for my money back.
Well, it's pretty serious. Like, if you contacted, you know, three electric officials of a party that you're a member of, and your vote is going to count for the party leadership, and they don't get back to you, and a lot of people didn't get their ballots, I think that's a serious violation of party protocol.
I would completely agree with you. That's why I'm going to continue to push, and I put it out there publicly, so someone's going to see it. I really hope somebody sees it and contacts me, because this is not right.
Well, I was looking at Tracy's Wilson's interview, and they did give Scheer an A on their CCFR report card. So,
yeah,
you know, he's good for gun owners.
Absolutely.
But the fact that not all the members had a chance to have their say, I think they should seriously look at it again.
That is more the point than anything else.
Yeah. But, you know, you might get all kinds of stories because the cost involved redoing it. Well, they screwed up, and it's electoral process. And if it's not done right, it should be redone.
Exactly. But I would say, if we don't necessarily have to redo it, just allow the people who didn't get the vote, send them the ballots and allow them to vote, and then add those to the counts and see where they fall into place.
That would be reasonable.
I mean, yeah. That's fine with me. I mean, yeah. You know, they sent the ballots out weeks before. So whether it was weeks before or a week after, they weren't done on the same day. They were counted anyways. They know who is registered. And as long as they send it to me, I send it back. My name is on the list. Then I get one vote. I should be able to voice it, you know, and exactly for me, it would be, you know, send it out to the people that missed it or they didn't get it. And then count those votes and see where it ends up after.
Well, let's hopefully you get a response and the situation gets addressed properly, because it's disturbing. It really is.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Story two, it's just a short one. If you belong to the Silverdale Gun Club, just remember all ranges are going to be shut down on Tuesday, June 13th from 7 to 4 for their annual CFO inspection, so don't show up and expect to shoot. But the office and Lance Shooting Supplies will be open from 10 to 5. And that's about all the stories we put in this week, because we want to talk with Rick Amaro about Maple Seed. Now, a lot of our listeners, longtime listeners of the show, know that George and I got really into maple seed a couple of years ago when we all went down to Michigan, and we had an American-Canadian competition, and the Canadians won. Only two Americans got the Rifleman patch, but three Canadians got them. And the interesting thing down there is when Kevin Latham brought his girlfriend Kelly, and she wasn't really into it, but she just went with Kevin just to go along. And by the time she left, she was hooked. She was signing up for another with her pal. She was signing up for courses on the way home from Michigan. She got so hooked into it. And actually, after that, that's one of the reasons I invited her to be a co-host in the show, because of her enthusiasm. She got hooked so fast from somebody who wasn't really into it, who just bang, yeah. She just loved it so much. So I figured she'd be a really good co-host. And, you know, people were asking for the Canadian version. So Kevin and Sluggo and some people from the New York chapter of Appleseed actually came up to the Bancroft Rod and Gun Club, and they had their first ever Maple Seed last year. And up at that Maple Seed, that's where we first met our co-host Mike, and we also met Rick, and we met Mario. And who's that guy that drove in for 8 or 9 hours? Some guy drove from like way the heck up north to come down. I forget his name, but Grant?
Yep, from Sudbury or Timmins area.
Yeah, I think it was Timmins area.
Yeah.
And yeah. it was really humbling to have all these people come up to us and introduce themselves and say, you know, thanks a lot for telling us about this. And they listened to the shows, and it was really, you know, George and I were kind of dumbfounded. I was like, wow, this is kind of sweet having all these people that, you know, recognize us. So then you guys took it a step further, because we're kind of busy on this end doing the charity shoot, but in the background, Kevin was really working on getting the maple seed, and there was a few struggles getting everything running at first. Then all of a sudden, within the last 2 months, everything hit at once to get it registered as a nonprofit organization. They put up the founder membership, was it called, Benny? The patch that you got?
Founder membership. And I was like debating, like, do I really, like, should I do this? Should I not do it? You know, and I'm like, you know what? Let me do it. And for whatever reason, normally I would have just waited like that when I got home. I messaged my wife. I was at work, and I messaged my wife. You know what? I'm gonna sign up for this thing. It's a lifetime. It's a nice investment. It's something worthwhile to be part of, right? So, and so she said yes. So I'm standing there at work, doing this on my phone, and then, yeah, you know, I hear later. Oh yeah, 5 hours later, sold out. So.
Yeah. Thanks for stepping up, Benny. We appreciate the support.
No problem.
So it sold out in 5 hours.
Yeah, it was a limited, so it we chose the number 150 because it coincided with Canada's 150th, right? And we didn't know exactly how big this was going to be or how many people were going to be interested. We thought, 150, that'll take weeks. So 150 is good enough, right? It ties in nicely with what we're starting off and Canada starting off 150 years. So we felt it was symbolic and made sense. That's how we felt about this program, that, you know, we were just starting off and we'll try it out. We were significantly overwhelmed in terms of the response and how fast and hindsight being, 2020, we would have done, things differently, but it's still great. And we appreciate all the 150 that signed up and hopefully the others who missed out will sign up for the annual memberships. So, but it's good.
And interest has really peaked. Like I even walked into Firearms Outlet last week, and the first thing Adam said to me, "Oh, are you one of the Maple Seed guys?" "No, no, it's not me." Give Camaro a call or contact Kevin or Kelly. I said, yeah. We got into it last year, but we're not running it now. So there is quite an interest. And Benny signing up. We finally got Benny into an Appleseed or Maple Seed shoot. So he signed up for the one next Sunday.
Yep. Nice.
Excellent.
That's nice. In Woodview, the Woodview one, right? Yeah, that's going to be awesome. It's a beautiful property. Corey and his family have really gone all the way with the setup. It rivals most ranges, I think, in terms of what he's put together there. So he's really keen as well. So you get to meet him, his family shooting as well.
So what's the actual structure right now? How are you holding the courses? Are you doing the history portion, or are you just doing?
So that's the one of the things that. So really the project from the first Maple Seed in Bancroft, we had Sluggo had tried to set up a few others, and we had committed to doing a shoot whenever he was available for whatever reason, either we lost the range or travel coincided, and basically we missed out on setting up Maple Seeds there. After a while, we determined that if it's gonna really take off, let's all do a gut check and say, okay, if we're going in, then we've all got to pitch in and help dug out and do what we can to get the program started and really organized and structured and get all the paperwork done and book it. So I think it was finally decided to really pull the trigger end of last year, early this year, when we heard there was a instructor boot camp for Appleseed in Texas. And that's really the tipping point between is it going to happen or is it not going to happen. And up until that time, we had a small Facebook group going. We had like 12 or 24 people in there. After we had made the decision to go, and really start the paperwork and start, we actually drove to Texas to go through the boot camp to get all this information and figure out how we were going to turn this program from a 2-day Appleseed event into what we felt was a more, manageable 1-day event and more appealing to Canadians, because committing 2 days, up here is really hard, right? You're not going to get many people to book 2 days. Where we thought, there's so many people here that are just dying for some basic marksmanship instruction. I think 1 day would allow us to give the fundamentals, give them enough experience to take that back to their home ranges. And if we want to, we could have a second day and work with another group of people, right? So one of the first things that we went through when we reviewed the course of fire was we don't have time to build the history program on top of the marksmanship. The nice thing that the thing that really made this possible is the support of Project Appleseed in the States and the support of Appleseeders literally across the country, right? When we went down to Texas, we visited Appleseeders and stayed with Appleseeders and the people that we used to, get instructed by and instruct with are now our friends and the biggest supporters of Project Mapleseed. So from them and with the approval of the board of directors from Appleseed, we were given access to all of their course of fire and allowed us to adapt and turn it quickly from a Project Appleseed course of fire into a Project Mapleseed course of fire, minus the history, because we couldn't just take their history and go there. But we do know that history is important, so we're working on adding that historical component. So having stripped the historical part of it, we managed to condense a 2-day into a 1-day with the same, if not more, qualification targets being shot in that 1 day, which is nice. So it is somewhat drinking from a fire hose, but I think we've had a handful of events, so maybe 3 or 4 so far, and it's really working well. The response has been great. People, what you're going to learn in 2 days is not much more than you would have learned in the 1 day, because they do break up and spread that out over 2 days. So we try and reinforce as much as possible with more practical experiences of the individual course of fires. We've thrown in some reinforcing targets and some transitional targets to to help get people more nailed down with that program of instruction. So I think that's the basis. So it's purely an instruction. And the round counts are averaging between 320 to 375-ish. So you're close to 400 rounds, which is pretty good for a day. And again, the whole concept is to make it approachable. So the cost of a maple seed is not significant. You know, for a youth shoot, it's basically $15 for a youth to attend. So it's the cost to go to a movie, right?
So, oh, yeah. Well, you're not going to get that kind of training for that little money anywhere. Yeah. And not that the quality of the training.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that we didn't want to skimp on. We wanted to make sure that the quality was on par with Project Appleseed's delivery. Again, they've had 10 years to build on this and eliminate the stuff that doesn't work and build the stuff that does work and reinforce. And you know, the response has been great. People have learned. And we've taken raw shooters and turned them into people that are, you know, one or two events away from getting their rifleman, and people with great skills have picked up several things that they're now incorporating into their own shooting regimen to become more accurate people. So, it's been good. Yeah.
So how many instructors do you have now?
So we have 5 instructors. So we have, Sluggo, who is the, you know, founder member number one. We have, Kelly and Kevin. We have, Mario. We have myself, as one, and we also have Stacy in Michigan. So the Appleseed Princess is also one of the members of the Mapleseed team up here.
So is this your first sanctioned shoot coming up?
No, we've had 3. Is that true, Mario? How many we had?
I think 2. This is our 3rd coming up.
Yeah. So this is our 4th.
The April 1st one, I think, was the first one.
So we have 2 coming up. We have 1 in Bancroft this coming weekend and 1 in Woodview. And then the week after, we're in Barrie for a youth event. So that's the other surprising thing. When we went into this, we said, you know, we're going to commit. We have to commit. And we said, well, how many can we actually physically put together? Because this is 100% volunteer nonprofit. So the time we spend at Project Mapleseed is time taken from our lives and our families. And that's something that we're trying to balance. So we said, okay, we know that we need to get coast to coast because it is a Canadian program. So we need to have east and west. And so let's say we do 3 or 4 in Ontario area, and you know, because Quebecers can travel. And then we'll do, you know, 1 or 2 in the east and 1 or 2 in the west. And kind of as things start to get going and as travel plans formulated and as interest really swelled up and sponsorship stepped up, we expanded our original plan for 6 to now we're 18 events this year alone.
Hopefully you'll get some riflemen on the coast and then they can start up some chapters
That's exactly it. And that's one thing we always say. It's we're not Project Mapleseed. We might have been the spark, but we need people getting in, getting their riflemen and also volunteering to be the local administrators and the people that are going to help manage the logistics of, well, what ranges are interested. And the only reason I say, well, how come you're not out west in DC? Well, we've approached a lot of ranges and the places where we're booked at now are the guys that responded to us, you know, so. People don't know about us and say, well, who's this guy? We don't know anybody there. So that's a difficulty. So hopefully with the popularity and kind of the success we have this year, it'll be a lot easier to get in touch with ranges next year and won't be as hard to say, hey, we'd like a data to help people, you know, get more comfortable behind the rifle.
And it's going to be a little bit slower up here because we're a much bigger country. We have a lower population and we don't have as many shooters, but it's, the passion's been spreading. I've had quite a few people actually mention Mapleseed to me. So it's nice. Awesome. It's nice to hear. So on the Sunday, how many AQT targets do you think you'll have?
We'll probably do between 4 to 7.
Okay, so here's the Benny. You got 4 to 7 chances to get a rifleman patch.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that I say to people is get as much trigger time as you can. Even dry firing helps. Learning where that trigger breaks is the difference. And what is the, like pistol, what is the minimum amount of pressure you need to break the shot without, you know, redirecting the gun in the wrong way, you know?
And you know, a thing a lot of people have to remember is most people don't get it their first try. A lot of people, especially in the Appleseed, it's their second attempt before they actually get it.
It's 10% of the people is the normal. You know, we've been lucky so far that we've had a lot higher than average shooters getting rifled, but it should take you to 3 to 4 maple seeds before you get it. You know, we see a lot of people come close, but for whatever reason, it just escapes them. And you know, sometimes you just need to take a break and you know, regrouping or practice more outside and then sign up for another one.
Oh, I know.
You know, like, sorry, go ahead, Thomas.
No, go ahead, Mario.
I was saying, just like Rick was saying earlier, you know, it's the analogy we use is drinking from a fire hose. And that's quite true. We, because it's a condensed program and we've done the course of fire over one day, we throw a lot of information out there and it's very intensive. So it's go, go, go. Let's get it, you know, and we want people to understand the program really well. So, you know, if someone, you know, with each little course of fire, each little training segment, if they take a little bit away, that's good. Some people have to remember that there will be a bit of frustration at times because some people come in, I guess, with certain expectations of getting that patch and then it doesn't happen. And then, you know, some people may get a little upset. But I think the important thing is that, you know, while they're on the line, we're always reinforcing each training segment that we go through. It's again, all the instructors are on the line. And as you're shooting, as you're engaging your targets, we're always out there reminding people of that last segment to, you know, watch your elbow, this, you know, or your hand placement or your trigger or your follow through or whatever it is that we happen to be training on. By the end of the day, there's really marked improvement with a lot of people and people are really surprised. So it's a patient thing, you know, go through it. And, like Rick was saying, you may not get it the first time, you'll come back again, you'll get it the second time.
Yeah. But the good part is it just shouldn't be focused on the patch. The goal is to give you the basics so you can shoot better anywhere. And the patch just happens to be a confirmation that you've hit that next step. Again, it's the beginning. And that's kind of why I got excited about Mapleseed was there was no other place to get basic rifle marksmanship instruction. So I wanted to get into competitive rifle shooting. There was nothing, you know, until I happened to listen to New Shooter Canon. They said, hey, we've got this program. It's based on, you know, it's a Project Appleseed event being run out of Bancroft. I said, you know, let's go, Mario. I called up Mario. I said, I book. Let's get out there. There's only two spots left. So, and it's been great. It's helped me put my game together. So, it's super. And that's kind of what I believe in, and kind of why I signed up to help promote this because I think it works.
We talked about it so much, the Appleseed and Mapleseed. We started getting letters from writers saying, okay, no more Appleseed.
I know.
No more Mapleseed.
I felt bad.
You can't help it, though, because when you're friends with somebody such as Sticks who has that passion, and he calls it 12-stepping, it's like the AA term, and he converts people that he meets who don't even shoot, that they have to go up and do an Appleseed. And that passion, it's contagious. Because if you sit with Sticks and you talk to him and you sit down and have a coffee or a beer with him, it rubs off you and you want to do it. You just it just sounds so much.
Yeah.
Sticks there's so awesome. Much to it.
This is awesome. Yeah. Yeah. It's a great program. Again, it's different from what people are used to because a lot of people do shoot off the bench and they're bagged and they're bipodded and they're pulling the trigger and then they're getting, you know, decent. And they say that's an accurate rifle. That's great. You know, but, you know, what we're finding and one of the, you know, I mentioned Luke Boyer, he wants to bring this to Quebec because a lot of the hunters are finding are wounding animals, not making the ethical shot because they don't have the fundamentals and it's no slight that they don't want to. They just don't know or never had the opportunity. That's why he's excited about the program because he wants to bring it to Quebec to help the kids and the hunters and everyone else to learn the basics. So there's more humane, you know, shots being taken or more humane kills being made. So there's definite need for it, I think, based on the response we're getting. And I was mentioning that we had, you know, before the floodgates opened, we had 24 people. And then I think the key tipping point was a conversation Kelly Lynn had with Tracy Wilson at CCFR and says, you know, we've got this thing going. I think we're ready to go. And Tracy said, let me know if you're ready because I'll release it. And within days, we were up to hundreds of members. And now I think we're probably over 1,800. Yeah, we're up to 1,800 now, I think, or if not more. So again, it's been super, and we have the monthly challenges. That again, for us, it's fun, but it's also the message behind there is these are the skills that we're helping you build by posting those up there, and it's also for people to understand and baseline themselves to say really where am I, if I shoot it with no bag, with no bipod, with just me, my sling, and my elbows, you know, how accurate am I? You know, we know that the rifle is going to be pretty accurate, and that's kind of the wake-up call. So that challenge is really to challenge yourself. It's not us saying, can you do it? It's, you know, what do you need to work on? And we'll rotate through a standing and a bench and a prone if you have access to it and transition. So it's fun. It's been
and
good.
The monthly challenges, it really gets them out there, because I've gone to my club and I've never printed up any of the targets. But every time I go to my club, there's targets in there.
There you go.
So I think listener Thomas has been printing up targets and leaving them all over the range, which is great. Thank you, Thomas. We appreciate it.
But it's just,
is he?
Maybe.
Shitka.
Yeah. Yep. We printed a name tag for him. Kelly just announced that we printed. So I'm not sure which one he's going to, but I know he's registered for one of the upcoming ones.
Yeah, well, he's got two boys, so he'll probably get Baron and, oh man, if he hit the younger one. I'm sorry, I hit the young guys, but Baron's really into shooting, so hopefully he'll get him a 10-22, because I think right now he's just got a lever action. It's tough, because I know when I did my first shoot, I was just barely getting it, like 196, 180. I'd break 201. I just wasn't getting it. And Stacy came and laid beside me. She goes, look, I really want you to get this. And she stood over me for the last two AQTs, and I made it by 2 points. I finally got over.
Stacey's
and awesome. Luckily, because I got over with 2 points, I didn't get baptized. So are you going to do the same thing? If you get 209, do you get? Are we going to have the baptizing up here?
We do. Yeah, we do. We do the baptism. We don't call it by the Northbridge water, but you know, winter, summer, or fall, you're going to get baptized.
What do you call the baptism? Canadian name for it?
We just say the tradition of scoring 210. We haven't come up with a cool name. It's one of the things we haven't come up with a cool name for yet, but we do honor that tradition. So, yeah. I just checked. Thomas is booked for the Woodview shoot as well with Benny. So Thomas should be there.
Awesome. Yeah. Is there any spots open for that?
Because
I know you guys put out a call, and I tried to convince a friend. I don't know if he signed up in the end or not.
We've got,
you had to change the range or something and you got more spots opened up.
Yeah, I think we've got spots still.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Well, there are spots. We have room 15. I think we've got 12 sold. So there's three spots.
So for next Sunday, if you're interested in shooting a maple seed, there is a spot. We'll put the links to the maple seed in the show notes and you can sign up if you're interested. So Benny, since you're going to this shoot, do you have any questions for Rick Romero?
Not really. I'm like a horrible person to ask those, like, to come up with questions, because I just throw me in the situation and I'll try and figure it out. That's how.
So what are you most scared of? I guess that's a good question. What are you most concerned about? Are you not nervous about anything?
I try not to come with any expectations, and that way I can just, you know, be relaxed, because I feel like I shoot the best if I'm not thinking about it.
Perfect. And that's a great attitude. A lot of people do come in with some preconceived notions of what they're going to do and that they know. I think the advice we give people is A, to have a teachable attitude. There's a lot of things that will be different from what you're used to. There's a reason why we go through the program of instruction the way we do, because really what we're trying to do is get you to build the mental checklist that you need to keep in mind each and every time before you pull the trigger, right? And so we'll run through that, and a lot of the instruction and the practice fire that we do is centered around reinforcing that. You know, we try and build the three-legged stool using a number of different things. One is, how do you hold yourself from a position perspective and building the most stable position, right? The other one is the six steps of firing the shot. You know, what are the things I need to focus on each and every time before I press that trigger? And the third one is getting your natural point of aim, which it just, you know, they're all equally important. So those are the things, and people have a lot of that already. If you've shot pistol, you do a lot of that already.
Well, I think the teachable attitude is probably the most important aspect of it, because you have people like myself that are older and kind of set in their ways and like, oh, I can do it this way. It works better for me that way. And in the end, you're not correct, because you think you're doing it right. And simple things like dragon wood makes a big difference.
Yeah.
And I'd never even heard that expression until I went to my first April seed and Sticks looks down, you're dragon wood. So I made a point of having it up there, and it really made a difference in my trigger release.
Yeah. And what was your thinking with, you know, what did you think you were going to learn versus what you actually learned at an apple seed, Thomas? Was it one thing, or was that the sling that you mentioned before that was
the sling was the biggest thing. I was amazed. Especially standing, the amount of repeatable accuracy I could do with the sling. Because people say, unlike Mary, she uses her skeleton position to do her stability. Well, I'm an old guy. It doesn't work. I don't have the hips or the weight or anything to stand like that. It would drive me crazy.
Yeah.
So it was nice.
Yeah.
It was nice being able to do, you know, getting your sling properly set up and working. And the one thing I learned is the breathing technique. Yeah. I was always, when I took the pistol coaching course, was I was to hold my breath and just let a little bit out. And then the using Styx's respiratory pause, I find works a lot better for rifle shooting and some, especially for bullseye pistol shooting, working mm-hmm. your body's natural rhythm instead of fighting your body's rhythm. Let exactly. your body go through it instead of fighting. Because once you hold your breath, then your body starts getting starved yeah. for oxygen, and then you start to shake. But if you just let your natural body, not your body's natural rhythm, follow through, and when you go to the bottom of your respiratory pause, if you're too low, just readjust, take another breath, and just move your position a little bit. So when your shot comes down on target, you're right at the bottom of the pause. You've got no motion, no nothing.
Exactly.
And it made a big difference. It really did.
The way I describe that is kind of waves on a beach. Just before you go in, you're waiting for that right point in the wave to go down, that interference line. You wait for it, right? If that's not the right wave for you, you wait for the next one. But there's that point where the wave recedes and you can go as far as you can for a long time. That's the same thing, right? You're just waiting for that perfect wave in your cycle, and you'll know it. And eventually, the more you do it, the more natural it's going to be. So
good.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's been such a great experience working with people and helping them, you know, uncork that inner marksman that they've had in them, right? And the smile on their face that they have, even if, you know, it's been a terrible weather for maple seed this year. It's been rain, and cold. And it doesn't look like next week's going to be that much different. But one thing's constant is that the people are smiling, which is really good. So it seems to be working. We're happy with the excitement, the involvement. That's really what it is. It's nice to say, you know, we like what you're doing, but to see people shooting the challenge and saying, hey, I'm getting better, and or at the end of the day, we, you know, people come up to Mario, Kelly, Lynn, and Kevin, myself, and say, great, you know, it's been super. So
the thing I like about the Appleseed, Mapleseed, is that it appeals to all age groups. When you go there, you're going to see somebody with a 10-year-old kid, or you're going to see somebody that's 75 years old.
Exactly.
You know, it's not geared towards, it doesn't have the IPSC or IDPA mentality. It's not a competition against anybody else. It's just, you're just improving your skill and competing against yourself to hit that goal of hitting that marksman target. Yeah.
And that's a good point, because part of our commitment is we understand the youth is the most important demographic if this sport is going to continue to grow. So part of our focus is to build that excitement and interest. So, you know, we have all of the loan and rifles. We're getting sponsorship for ammo. We've got dedicated youth shoots planned. We have a special youth badge to celebrate the fact that people are coming out and trying it out. So June 10th, the week after, we're going to Barrie for a dedicated youth shoot where we've got kids as young as 7 all the way up to their mid or late teens. And we've got the course of fire that you know, kind of helps shooters of all ages with, you know, maybe we'll get the youngest ones on sandbags. Others will be limiting the number of transitions, and the older ones will be doing the full course of fire. So it's good, and we'll see how it goes. And again, if we can do more of these, that's great.
Because that way you can turn it into a family event. Mom and dad and the kids can go for the weekend. If it's just a one day, it's great. Yeah. They don't have to worry about hotels or finding a place to stay.
Yeah. And who knows how many other hidden Mary Patricks there are out there, but just never had the opportunity, you know, or even just a fun time with mom, dad, and the kids, right? That's
it's family bonding time that we don't get nowadays.
Yeah, like, and that's one of the things. Yeah, when we first started the shooting challenges, you know, when someone would say, hey, you know, it was great. I took my son or my daughter out, and we spent the afternoon shooting and plinking, and, you know, thanks for getting us out. I mean, that's why we do it, you know. So
that's one of the things I like about my club, is that we have a lot of parents have their kids out there. So you see, we have youth shoots in the evening. So hopefully, listener Thomas, if you're listening, which you probably is, see if you can get maple seed at our club.
Is that sober?
No, Port Perry. It's a smaller club.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a small club indoor. There's only 9 lanes indoors, so it would be a small shoot, but it's indoors. Yeah. It's covered.
Yeah. Perfect. Indoors is, I mean, one of the things we're trying to find is more indoor ranges, because, you know, we have a very short season. And if we've got some nice indoor ranges willing to let us in and take up again, that's the hard part about indoors. It's such high demand, because there is no other, you know, options for people other than indoors. To shut down an indoor range for a day is a big commitment for people. So,
yeah, the biggest thing is the amount of lanes in an indoor range. You don't usually get as many. But, you know, hopefully, since we were talking earlier about Adam from the Firearms Outlet, they're going to have a nice range.
I know. I was
excited. Hopefully, Fred can come on board and maybe have a range for us to use one day for Mapleseed. That'd be cool.
That'd be super.
So what's been the biggest challenge so far facing you guys?
You know, I think the you know, Kevin and Kelly have really put a lot of effort into the program of instruction and adapting. So there's a lot of time spent on building a program that's, you know, both condensed but not overly full, but also effective. And I think for us, it's just supporting the demand. I mean, we've expanded to 18. We've pushed the limit of how much we can do, and we know that there are so many other areas, and hopefully, you know, our plans for next year is to grow organically and get more people. But that the other part then is, how do we train all the instructor cadre and the administration cadre? That's the other challenge that we're kind of leaving behind for now. So I just focus on getting the events done and in the fall, winter, start rolling out that instructor training program and you know, take advantage of technology when we can. To do the maybe a virtual boot camp. Again, this is just me thinking, it's nothing that we've decided, but you know, we're open to trying new things to get people. But based on the fact that Project Appleseed's already paved the way, they've got a great training program, they've got a great instructor boot camp program, they've got, you know, instructor and trainings and shoot boss and training program. So it's great to be able to leverage all of the things, you know, what to do, what not to do, and then just adapt it for our realities of our geographic dispersion and kind of where we are in our evolution.
Well, from a very short, humble beginning, it's just exploding, which is great to see. Just absolutely great to see.
Well, again, it's the podcast community has been great in supporting it. I mean, and you know, New Shooter Canada was instrumental in that first spark of getting all of those people together that one day and just seeing what it's all about, right? So, you know, that's what's cool about it.
Isn't even Trevor's building a Mapleseed right now, isn't he?
It's that's going to be an interesting shoot. You've got Filthy Trevor and Matthew there and a few others. Jason's going to be there, Jason Gallen. So it's going to, I mean, there's going to be some competitive. Yeah, there's going to be some competitive side to that, I think, which is going to be interesting to watch. So I don't want people to get all thinking that, you know, it's all about the rifleman patch and getting the scores. But I think sometimes when you get a bunch of guys together, you just can't help it, right? It's like, you know, who's gonna score the highest. But it's going to be fun.
Well, especially when you get all your friends that you shoot with all the time. So exactly. You know, Matthew and Trevor are going to be competitive, and Gowan's a hoot. He's an absolute hoot. Yeah. And Filthy, if he takes off his helmet and puts his glasses on, he's actually a pretty good shooter. The only time he can't hit anything is when he's pretending he's a stormtrooper. But I've seen him shoot. He's a good shot.
Yeah.
And, you know what will happen? Fred will probably come and clean everybody's clock anyway. So
there you go. That's it.
Oh, this is excellent. I'm so glad to see this program up and running. It's been a long haul for you guys. So I'd like to say thank you very much for you two. For actually getting involved and helping Kelly and Kevin and getting this program off the ground, because if it wasn't for you know, shooters like yourselves getting involved and doing so much work, we wouldn't have this. So I'd like to say a thank you to both you, Rick, Mario, of course, Kelly and Kevin, for getting this going, and Sluggo. You know, because this is something a lot of people have talked about for a long time, and we kept saying, you know, when's it happening? And the amount of work involved, and not just physical work, I'm sure the financial contribution that comes out of Kevin and Kelly's pockets quite high, because I know Kevin, they put a lot of money out of their own pockets for the charity shoot, so at the same time they're trying to do this, so we greatly appreciate everything they've put into to get this program going.
They're awesome to work with. It's wouldn't be here without those guys driving it. So
just remember, next time you go to Kelly's house, when you walk in, take all the cushions and turn them sideways and go sit down and just watch. Okay? See how long she can stay still before those cushions get turned around. Okay, Benny, anything else before we let the guys go?
Nope, that's it. I'm just, like I said, I want to show up with a blank slate and then try and just take in as much as I can.
Yeah, if you relax.
That's the best way to enjoy it. You're going to have a great time.
If you relax, you'll do fine. Yeah, no worries.
Oh, he'll do fine. Besides, he's shooting my rifle. He better do well.
There you go. That's awesome. Is it now in keeping with Thomas Donnelly tradition? Is it all tricked out 10/22 with? Is it a compensated red dot 22 or
red dot 6-24 scope with heavy barrel and nice Archangel stock? Yeah, no.
Nice.
Yeah,
it's probably a 20-year-old. Bosch and Lomb Elite 4000 before Bushnell took it over. It's got a Shooter's Ridge bull barrel. The only thing I did internally is I put a Volks Quartz and hammer in.
That's all
dropped,
you need.
It dropped the trigger pull down to 2.5 pounds.
Yeah,
and the
reset that is the perfect setup. I love that trigger pack. It's the first thing. If someone says, what should I upgrade if I want to spend, you know, 50, 60 bucks, put a Volks Quartz and hammer in it and save the rest for ammunition, because that makes a huge difference. So you'll be all set, Benny. Well, maybe I just set you up now because it's not going to be the equipment that's going to let you down.
Oh, no. I 100% know that. Like, that's awesome. That's the one thing I learned last year at the fast course. I just got my Jericho and I was a little concerned about how it was shooting. Cause obviously it wasn't me, right? And then I went like the first 10 minutes of the fast, like I was telling someone today at the Steel Challenge, when Rick put us 2 feet or 3 feet in front of the target and had to shoot at that line, it showed me the gun shooting straight. I just got to figure out how to shoot it properly. So,
that's an awesome pistol.
It's definitely, you know, even having, you know, having the equipment that works nice, that nice trigger helps, but it's the shooter.
Yeah.
It's nice having the equipment. Like,
it's awesome.
It's definitely easier with a 10/22 than say a Marlin, because you don't have the drop free magazines and everything else. No. But I barely made it my first time using it. George wasn't successful with it. So.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming up, Benny. I look forward to seeing you on the firing line there.
No problem. Any opportunity I have, I'd love to come out for training. So thanks for having it on a Sunday and close to the GTA.
Yeah, someone said, what should we do for Benny? Let's put it on a Sunday for Benny. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
I'm glad it worked out. Awesome.
Okay, guys, well, listen, thank you very much for taking your time. We appreciate it. And Benny, you'll see the guys next week. Oh,
yeah.
Thanks for getting a part of it, and thanks for coming on. I know you guys are really, really busy, so Mario must be exhausted from coming back from Toronto and doing the gig and everything else. And
yeah, I'm pretty burned.
So I guess we'll see Rick at the charity shoot during the shooting. I guess you're gonna be too busy doing any of the photography shoot this year.
We're gonna figure it out. We're gonna be trading duties and stuff. We're managing that. We have a maple seed stage at the charity shoot, which is the target, just so people can get a sense for what it is that we do and how difficult we make it by shrinking that stage 4 target to a 400 meter equivalent of a 20 inch target. So
with the Morgan shingle,
I don't think we'll be doing that, but there wasn't room to squeeze it into the day, but they'll get to the firing line and they'll be put through the paces like in a regular shoot. So it should be fun.
So if you can't make it to the next maple seed, come out to the charity shoot and you'll be able to at least try some of the AQ2 targets, and you're going to put on a mini maple seed, I guess you would call it.
Yeah, it's just a qualification. We're not going to do any instruction, so you'll be going in cold and do the best you can, and then we'll take it from there. Yeah, it should be good.
You know what? I was speaking to Jamie from Big Red Firearms, and he was thinking about different ways to promote stuff. And I said, well, why don't you offer a prize package for maple seed, like a 10/22, maybe a scope.
Yeah.
And you should contact the guy. So, you know what? That wouldn't be a bad prize at the charity shoot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to put the link to the form in the website. I was messaging him. So I'm going to speak to him later on. I'm going to suggest that he donate a rifle. He may not, but I'm going to suggest it. He's looking at ways to get more people out there and get involved in the form. I said, because he has prizes for people writing articles and stuff. He's like, you know, you want people to get involved. He said, you put something like that out, everybody at the charity shoot's going to know about the form. So you might be getting a contact from Jamie from Big Red Firearms.
Okay, awesome. Well, I was looking for any help we can.
But that's strictly through Maple Seed. I didn't suggest actually for the charity shoot itself. Okay. I suggested to him that he contact Maple Seed and he'd work out something with you guys.
Yeah. I mean, we're across Canada. We're heavily based in Ontario.
Excellent. Okay, guys. Well, right. I guess we'll see you next week at the Maple Seed.
Yeah.
We'll do. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Right.
Bye. Cheers.
Bye. Cheers.
Cheers. Well, thanks, Rick and Miro. Good interview, wasn't that, Benny?
It was great.
So you're going next Sunday.
Yep.
What time? It's 7:30 in the morning. You got to go for sign up.
Sign up. Yeah. So I think I'm leaving 4:45 to get there on time.
Oh, excellent. Hey, yeah. Mike just joined us. Mike, you there, Mike? Mike, you got to unmute your mic, Mike.
Mike, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, good. There he is.
You did it, Thomas, right? You left your mic muted.
No, I can't. I didn't hear you guys.
Well, he is hearing challenged. So, Mike, what did you do in Guns this week?
So this week I put in yet another order with Wolf Springs, and I ordered a pair of springs for Sarah's revolvers, for a single action revolver. So hopefully we can slick that up and get that trigger pull down a little bit, even though I think it's pretty light to begin with. But really what I'm hoping for is to make manually cocking the hammer just a little bit smoother, a little bit lighter. So I also ordered the spring, a spare set of springs for my 226 hammer and recoil, because I put thousands of rounds through that gun, and I have no idea how worn out those springs are and if they need to be replaced or not. So I just figured I'd order another set just in case. And then today I went to Frontenac, which is why I was so late getting on the show tonight, and I shot an I-Corps match. So that's the revolver only, and that was really fun. Got to shoot with a lot of great people, great weather, and it was a great match.
Sounds cool.
Yep.
Well, let's skip right into listener email. Oh, we don't have any. So let's go to events. What's the first event, Benny? Actually, let me do the first event since I was talking about this earlier, and I told Jamie I'd do it. So I'll go to event one since I put it in. So don't forget to visit Big Red's Firearms, new forum for reviews, buy, sells, and trades. Great new forum, and we have posted a few reviews there ourselves. And you can also directly download New Shooter Canada for the download from their webpage. So I put the links in the show notes. And what's number two, Benny?
The Cornwall Handgun Club is holding their first MilCert match on June 10th. Cornwall. www.cornwallhandgunclub.ca. Links are in the show notes.
I've never been to a MilCert match. And what's event three, Mike?
Because they're not MilCert matches for you, Thomas. They're just your childhood guns.
This is true.
You walked into that one.
I know. Hey, when I first got my license, you could buy a Mosin or a Sporterized Lee Enfield, $50-$75.
Yep. And that was back when you could buy yourself a car with a nickel.
No, that was early 70s.
Oh.
Not quite. Right. Not quite.
So event number three is the Carbine Operator Course by Ragnarok Tactical on July 7th, Kitchener, Ontario. It's $200, and that is theft included. And at the next day is the 7th Annual Canadian Podcaster Charity Shoot in Guelph, and that is $40. And I believe there's a lot of information up now, and links are in the show notes.
Yeah, I put the stages and the round count up. Gavin posted those a couple days ago, so it'll be good. I guess event six is the Got Your Six Charity Shoot, July 22nd and 23rd. Webpage is www.gotyoursixshoot.com. It's sold out?
Yep. Oh.
That's good.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
Event number six, Florence Gun Club, Florenceville Gun Club is having their fourth annual gun fundraiser. And your fourth annual club fundraiser. Tickets are to be purchased at contactus.fssc@gmail.com. Links are in the show notes as usual. If you have an upcoming event that you would like us to promote, please drop us a line on Facebook.
Any listener email?
Nope. Listeners, email us.
And where would they email us at, Benny?
Please send us feedback, questions, or comments you may have to hosts@newshootercanada.ca. Our Facebook page or in the comments section of our website at newshootercanada.ca.
And if you want a fast response, put it on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
We get those pretty quick. Facebook likes, the last time I looked, was 1,103?
1,103, that is correct. That's what I have, too.
Any closing comments, Mike?
Nope.
Any?
No, I just wanted to say thanks to you guys for doing the interview and the rest of the show without me, and sorry to listeners that I wasn't able to get on here earlier.
What about you, Benny? You got any closing comments?
I want to thank Rick and Mario for coming on. I also want to thank TDSA for putting on an event on a Sunday, and they said they're going to hopefully put on more Sunday events, and I'm looking forward to that. I also want to thank my wife, as usual, for letting me do the podcast and spend the whole day at the range. So, yeah, even though there's tons of stuff to do at home. So, thanks to her. Thomas?
Shout outs this week. I guess my biggest shout out would be to David Coping from Grand Power Canada for offering me a job. I thought that was absolutely cool. So if I decide to retire, I've got something all lined up. So I thought that was pretty awesome. It, you know, and it's a product I like. So it's a challenge I'm looking forward to. I'm pretty sure I'm going to take him up on it if my wife lets me. But the way it's going to work out, I'll probably still have something part-time on the weekends, like Saturday, Sunday, Sunday. Because visiting all the stores on the weekend, it's just insane anyway because they're all busy doing their business. So if I'm going to be selling the product during the week, probably better anyway to meeting the owners and the contacts. So I'm looking forward to that. So thank you for the offer, David. I appreciate it. So I guess that's it for this week. Did we lose my again?
No, I'm here. I'm waiting for you to say your sign off.
Yeah, take us out, Thomas.
It's only been like 135 episodes.
Well, I changed sign off. Now that George is gone, I'm going to use his sign off. Because that's the official New Shooter Canada sign off, and somebody has to do it. So until next week, keep your barrels downrange and smoking.
Time spent at the range is time spent with family.
It's not about the odds, it's about the stakes.
Excellent. Thank you once again, everybody. Have a good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
I really like 22 Mag.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or feedback you may have, or if you just want to call shenanigans. You can contact us at host@newshootercanada.ca or through our Facebook page.
The way they look, I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale until I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.
Here, put an edit note down. I'm going to start again. I screwed that up.
How do you do that?
Well, you know, I could say that I could say f- and then Mike has to go through back and edit it anyway. Yeah. If you ever don't like what you're saying, just say a bad word and then Mike cringes instead. Sorry, Mike. They're made for distance. I have to put them right, just like George was teasing me. It's like an old man, right on the tip of my nose. And then I can read. April C. Right. So we can say nasty things and he might not hear us.
There is a 50-50 chance. You want to take that risk? You want to take that risk, Thomas? I know where you live.
Yeah, and I've seen your wife shoot. No, I'm not going to do it.
Always a safer option. I downloaded an app for like Sevi to play with because he likes taking our phones. I just found this random app for babies to like press and they give you the sound of some vehicle. So I'm like, oh, why not I just like look up a soundboard? So
now I heard it.
Whatever, some weird stuff. I don't know.
He likes it.
Yeah.
I'm a phone
malaise! You kind of scared a poor kid?
Oh, no, no. This was not, this isn't for him to play with. This is for us.
Oh.
I didn't realize you guys had already done all that much. Otherwise, I would have just had to finish the show and...
But we would have missed you, Mike.
Well, I miss you guys every week.
Ha 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 ha!